Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Now, I am an American, and I have been blessed by Almighty God to be born and raised in the greatest country in the world. Just yesterday, we celebrated 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence as it was adopted, announcing our separation from England, the rule of its king, and the formation of the United States of America. That document stands today as a basis of our freedom. Someone has said that it is the greatest document ever struck from the brains of men. Each individual, regardless of race, creed, or rank, shares its protective rights and justice. The privilege of free speech, religion of choice, the right to vote and bear arms are privileges guaranteed to us by the blood and sweat of our courageous forefathers who bathed the Declaration of Independence in prayer. I love our flag. Amen. And for nearly 110 years, I have stood up for our banner of hope and freedom. It was born amid our country's first fight for liberty. It was a symbol of a country that has grown from a little group of 13 colonies to the United States of 50 states. And I love how it flutters in the wind as it is an inspiration to millions of patriots. Men have followed that flag into battle with unwavering courage so their fellow citizens could enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. While others may disrespect Old Glory, and they may say it's nothing more than a piece of cloth, I love its stars on that blue background. I love its red and white stripes. The color white signifies purity. Red, the hardiness and valor. And blue of vigilance and perseverance and justice. Its 13 red and white stripes represent the 13 original colonies and their unity. It's not just a piece of cloth. It is a symbol of liberty and the flag of our great nation. It stands for everything that we believe as Americans. It is not just a piece of cloth. And when looked upon, we ought to rejoice in God for all His goodness that He has bestowed upon our land and the home of the brave. Amen. Just a piece of cloth? Say that to Francis Scott Key, who was held as a prisoner on a British warship during the bombardment of Fort McHenry. Through the night, Key watched that battle unfold. And at dawn's early light, he was deeply moved to see that mass of American flags still flying over the fort, signifying that the American forces had not surrendered. And I, for one, am glad it still flies today. Yes, we get to live in the land of the free because of the brave. And Old Glory is so much more than just a piece of cloth. I'm quite fond of such symbols this nation has, such as the Liberty Bell, the American Eagle, the Statue of Liberty, and Mount Rushmore. While living overseas for 5 years, I couldn't wait to return to the land that I love. For some time after that, warm tears would run down my cheeks when I would hear the Star-Spangled Banner or our national hymn, America, being sung. I was brought up to stand up for our flag. I was brought up to stand when its anthem was played. Take off my hat and place my hand upon my heart. I was taught to answer the call to serve my country and to defend its interests. For the freedoms we enjoy, they are not negotiable. I'm a patriotic American. My favorite color is blue. My hairs are turning white. And my neck, it has always been a bit red. I'm thankful to the Lord above that of all the places in the world, He chose to place me in the good old U.S. of A. You say, preacher, Are you thankful for the decrease in moral values? For the blatant dishonesty among politicians? For the rise of socialism, anti-Semitism, and the hatred for our country that is prevalent among so many of our young people? How about its racial tensions? The promotion of those who hold to the perverted alphabet, LGBTQ+, and the covetous fools who believe in taking from wealthy producers and distributing their hard-earned money to those who contribute little or nothing to our society. What about abortion providers, the heretical churches, and those who want nothing to do with the true Christian faith? Listen, I know and I realize there's plenty wrong with our country, but there's a whole lot right with it too. It still is the best nation in the world, and it is deserving of our prayers for revival. And if that prayer is answered, we would see America turn back to God, and this land of ours would be healed. This will only take place when we believers decide to heed what the Lord says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where this is written. If my people, if who? Doesn't say if the heathen. It says if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There is not a problem that exists in America that can't be overcome by God's own people who desperately need to be revived. The believer is either part of the problem or they are part of the solution. And our nation will not rise above the spirituality of its saints. Yes, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. I believe so many in our country, including us Christians, have forgotten this truth. Yet it is just as true as John 3:16. We tend to think that greatness of a nation is found in its economic prosperity or its military might. But it is found in God's blessings upon the land, and they should be looked upon as such and not overlooked. God has blessed America with wonderful natural resources. Practically everything we need we can find right here in our country. Its rich soils produce grain in abundance, vegetables aplenty, and the trees bear manner of all kinds of fruit. And from its timberland, the need of wood is met. From its mines, every mineral and metal that is used is dug up. We have beneath the ground oil and coal needed for energy, and upon its grasslands, herds of cattle graze, which give us milk and meat to consume. God has blessed our country with bountiful natural beauties. Every type of scenery in the world can be found right here in America. When others talk about the beautiful coasts of the Mediterranean, can we not speak of the Atlantic and Pacific coastlines of America? Let them talk about the Danube. Let them talk about the Rhine River of Europe. But do we not have the mighty Mississippi? Do we not have the Ohio, the Colorado, and the Columbia? They may speak of the Alps, the Himalayas, or the Andes, but we have the Rockies, the Smokies, the Cascades, and the Adirondacks. While others boast about their natural wonders, such as rainforests, jungles, and freshwater lakes, let me remind you, we have the Everglades, Niagara Falls, vast forests of hardwoods, the Great Lakes, the Grand Canyon and Yellowstone. We have Hawaii, a tropical paradise. We have Alaska with its Arctic beauty. We have the redwoods of California and those cactuses of Arizona that I cannot pronounce, as well as the swamps of Louisiana. You can take all the beautiful scenery from all over the world, and in my opinion, we can match it here in the USA or exceed it. God has blessed this country with beauty. God has blessed us with a good form of government. It has its checks and balances. Though at times it's been better than others, we have a government that is of the people and for the people. We get to vote on who represents us. We as a nation have had such leaders as George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Rinaldus Maximus Reaganus, and our current president who made Trump them all. We've had Supreme Court justices such as Antonin Scalia, Clarence Thomas. How about our military leaders, Admiral Nimitz, General MacArthur, Winfield Scott, General Grant, just to name a few. These notable Americans, along with many others, have guarded our liberties and ensured our form of government still stands after 250 years. God has blessed the citizens of our nation with freedom of speech. While I do not always agree with what our government is doing or what others say, they simply have a right to say it. I have a right to come behind this pulpit. I have a right to preach what thus saith the Lord, whether it is popular or not, and I can do so without the government harassing me. I can speak the convictions I have without being arrested and thrown in jail for doing so, even though there are some who would like to silence God-called preachers of the gospel. Thank God we have religious freedom in America. You can choose whatever church you want to be a part of, or you can choose not to be a part of any of them. It's quite sad that there are such churches as the Church of Subgenius, Elvis the Divine, Church of Euthanasia, and the Church of Flying Spaghetti Monster. Some cater to sodomites, others to those who enjoy getting high on mushrooms and cannabis. And then there's every kind of cult imaginable with its followers holding to unscriptural beliefs as they preach another gospel, deny the deity of Christ, worship Mary, hold to the doctrines of devils, and fail to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. While there is only one true God, composed of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, only one way of salvation, and is through belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. One Bible, the King James Version. One faith that is found in the Scriptures. One true church that has Jesus as its head and its foundation. And it has a saved, baptized membership with the Word of God being its sole authority for faith and practice. In this country, others have their right to be wrong in the practice of their religion. And everyone is free to worship at the dictates of their own heart. Well, I don't have to agree with them, nor do they have to agree with me. We in this great country have religious freedom, where the church does not run the state, nor does the state run the church. I'm talking about separation of church and state. This does not mean that we as Christians should not be interested in politics. We in our nation have a God-given right, and we have a responsibility as saints and good citizens to vote when it comes to elect people to office. Every believer should exercise this right and see to it that the right people are appointed to govern. When God's people fail to vote, it often results in the wrong person being placed into office. Just think how different things would be if we would elect and put people into government that were born again, honest people of biblical convictions, who have a backbone made of iron and a will of steel, who will stand up and do what is right. Would there be such a thing as Pride Month? Would there be the legalization of marijuana? Would pornography be so prolific? Would politicians be so vulgar in their speech? Would anti-Semitism be so prevalent? Would there be so much class and racial warfare? Would taxpayers be on the hook for gender-affirming care? Would parental rights be taken away? Would males be competing in women's sports? Guys, don't play soccer. Would marriages have been redefined? Would the murder of babies in a mother's womb be taking place? If we believers don't wake up, and if another great awakening doesn't take place, our country, so blessed by God, could be swallowed up by socialism and these far-left lunatics who are anti-God, anti-Bible. Yes, God has given us a great country, but if good, godly people fail to do something, our best days will be behind us and not in front of us. God has blessed us with a country where everybody has a chance. America is a land of opportunity. No matter who you are, your educational background, whether you came from wealth or poverty, everyone has a chance to better themselves and the situation they find themselves in if they would but apply themselves to that goal. Who would have thought that a boy born with autism in South Africa would come to America and become the first trillionaire? Or a boy born in a log cabin there in Kentucky would become the 16th president of the United States? Or one born into slavery, George Washington Carver, would become a renowned educator and author? Say what you want about it, but we live in a great country. We ought to love it. We ought to stand up for it and do what we can to preserve the freedoms that we currently enjoy. Early on, the Spaniards came to our land for gold. The French came for gain. But our original colonists came here for God. Our forefathers founded our nation upon the Christian faith and no other. And America will only be great as long as the Lord is still her God. How we need to give God His rightful place in our lives, in our homes, and in our churches, and our country once again. For when we do, we will be blessed from a God, from God above, for blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, they knelt down upon the shore and they thanked God for giving them this country. The Church of Jesus Christ was at the center of every new settlement in the land. When the Continental Congress faced great problems and faced great difficulties and knew not what to do, they would fall upon their knees and they would pray to God above. When this country's battle for freedom lay in the balance, and the Continental Army was freezing and starving at Valley Forge, its great general, General George Washington, went alone into the woods and prayed for divine guidance, for strength and deliverance for his men. These folks are but a few of the people who realize that America needs God. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for its leaders. Pray for its churches and pray for our families. We need God's guidance, provision, for His protection, and for His power to fall upon His people. In this nation, we need homes where children are taught the Bible, where they are told it's wrong to smoke, to cuss, lie, drink, gamble, and commit acts of immorality, where they are instructed to live in a righteous manner, and have parents who practice what they preach, where they understand that hard work and honesty always pays off, and where Christ feels right at home. We need the Lord to be the focus of our churches, where His word is esteemed once again, His praises are sung, His truth is declared, and His people live holy, separated lives. The church once again needs to get back to what God intended it to be, so it can once again be the moral compass of the nation. So many churches are dead. Nobody takes a stand. Few preach against sin. I just heard yesterday, they didn't even call it sin in this big church somebody went to. They call it your shame. Shame on them! This contemporary form of worship and watered-down preaching that accompanies it is an affront to a thrice holy God. Amen. As goes the home, so goes the church, and so goes the nation. I know our country is guilty of many sins, but the guilt of America is one of personal guilt. And if America is to get right with God, it'll be when we as individuals get right with Him. If we love this country of ours and we want to help it, then every one of us should confess our sin and then set out to live the best possible Christian life. For it is written in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A nation can only be as righteous as its citizens. I love America. I love its flag. I love its land. I love its form of government. I love its people. But most of all, it has allowed me the freedom to live the Christian life and declare the gospel freely. Because I'm a Christian, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. My sins are forgiven. I've been reconciled to God. My hope for a better country here on earth, other than America, is simply not possible. But I do look forward to the one to come, whose builder and maker is God. It is a prepared place for a prepared people. There we'll all be united. Crime will no longer be a problem. Poverty will be abolished. No more corrupt government officials who legalize sin and try to profit off of it by taxing it to death. Its beauty will outshine anything we can see, even here in the old USA. There everyone will have a mansion their own. No more homeless problem or housing crisis. No more problems that plague our nation. Sin will be a thing of the past. No more talk about Medicare for all, for no one will ever get sick. There is no need to vote for our benevolent ruler. Their needs meets every need. Everybody loves him and everybody wants him in charge. Yes, one day I will leave this land that I love for a far better place that I long for. All because I called on the name of Jesus Christ, who saved me from sin and hell. And while yesterday we celebrated Independence Day as a nation, I nearly 43 years ago, I'm thankful for the freedom that I have in Jesus Christ. And I have a hope of a better tomorrow and a better country. While I am an American patriot, my true loyalty belongs to Christ. For my citizenship is now in heaven. The greatest anything one can do for America is to be a good Christian. If you have not already trusted Christ as your Savior, let me implore you to do so now and make today the best Independence weekend you ever had in your life. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.